Israel is increasing its bombardment of Gaza's second-largest city, Khan Yunis, as the Israeli military pushes into southern Gaza in the new phase of the war. Israel's orders to evacuate the city are sending even more Palestinians further south. The Israeli military has published a map with a grid system to alert civilians in Gaza to what areas its forces are targeting, but Palestinians say they can't find places that are safe. Here's what Netta Alzaim told us from an international Red Cross shelter with her family in Rafah in southern Gaza.
It's really crazy what we are going through. No place can be considered as safe, even to get out to buy something as food, as water, as anything for basic life, any medication for elderly people or who have chronic diseases. So we are running off supplies, we are running off food, we are running off everything.
For more about the conditions in Gaza, we're joined by United Nations Humanitarian Chief Martin Griffiths. Chief Griffiths, welcome to Here and Now.
Thanks very much for inviting me.
Hundreds of thousands of Palestinians are being pushed to move further south as Israel's military expands its operations from northern and central Gaza. What are you hearing from people inside Gaza, Mr. Griffiths, about what the evacuation looks like and conditions in southern Gaza?
There's nothing good to be said today about what's happening in Gaza. And I speak as the representative of the international humanitarian community, the world's humanitarian agencies. And what my community is telling me is very simple. There is nowhere safe for the people to move to in southern Gaza. The promises that we heard of possibly a less offensive military operation in the south than in the north have not come through. There is no place of safety for people to shelter. The hospitals, as we have seen, are places of conflict. And so my community, the international humanitarian community, has a single clear message now. This has to stop. This has to stop immediately. That ceasefire that we've all been talking about has to start immediately.
So with all due respect, it feels like the humanitarian community has been saying that for a while, and it hasn't stopped.
No, it hasn't stopped, and it's got worse. And in fact, about a week ago, seems like last century, I had a 10-point plan as to how we would respond to the needs of people moving south into southern Gaza. Well, that's in tatters now because of the way in which the conflict is raging across the south. Now, humanitarian voices can be clear, and I hope I've been clear today. It doesn't mean to say that they're listened to, but it is very clear to us, and you will hear it from all of my colleagues, that there's almost nothing we're doing anymore in southern Gaza. Some trucks get across the Rafah crossing, but even unloading them means that people have to move from where they are living a little bit, slightly more safely, a little bit further north in Gaza. They can't get to Rafah to unload them. So humanitarian aid is coming to a standstill. And as it does...
Is it just sitting in the trucks then?
No, I mean, it's they're trying to unload it. It's doing it from yesterday. It's slowing down. The support for water systems is running out. You've seen all the pictures in the hospitals. It's all triage and trying desperately to move the wounded. It's not a situation. It's not a humanitarian operation anymore. It's a situation where humanitarian agencies are reacting at best to what is in front of them. And the worst aspect of this, and I want to emphasize this as well as my main message, is we don't know where this is going to end. There are, 2 million people or so down in southern Gaza. Where are they supposed to go? They can't find safety. There is no place that the UN can guarantee safety despite major efforts at deconfliction. Where will they go? Where will they move? Well, we will find out.
There is concern, sir, that it's not just that people don't have a safe place to go. It's that they may be suffering from diseases. They may be suffering from starvation. There may be other ways in which Palestinians will die. Are you concerned about that?
what we're hearing from our colleagues in the World Health Organization and Médecins Sans Frontières, Palestine Red Crescent and others, is that in fact the death toll on the civilian population of Gaza is now increasing from health as much as from conflict. It's not only the bombing that are killing children anymore. It's cholera, it's waterborne diseases, it's lack of health care. The utter destruction of the health system of Gaza, which we have seen now clearly for some days or even a few weeks, has the logical impact on the poor and the poorest people of Gaza, which is to kill them by disease if they don't get killed by bombs.
And did the pause in fighting that lasted about 7 days, did that have any impact on the aid that got in and being able to help people who we hear the needs of kind of beyond desperate now?
Well, they're beyond desperate now, and that's why we just say stop it. I mean, it's not about assessing needs and saying, okay, we need to move a few trucks, 50 trucks more over there and 100 trucks more over there. It's over. It's over. But what was very interesting about that pause was it showed what could happen, because what did happen in the pause was aid did reach people. Stocks were replenished. People were able to move to places of greater safety. The parties did stop for that shortish time, but it showed us an alternative to what we're seeing today.
What needs to happen to make this stop if all your collective voices seem to not be heard? Who can stop this?
The world can stop this by speaking in one voice, which it has yet to do. The United States has exercised enormous diplomacy. It must continue to do so. The Secretary General of the United Nations, you can be sure he will be speaking about this in the next day or so. The European Union, they must speak out in a single voice to say no. And Israelis need to realize that what is the impact of their understandable desire for a response to what happened to them October 7th is actually creating a new generation of extremists down in these southern pockets of southern Gaza. That's not good for Israel. It's not good for the world. And we haven't even touched on what's happening in the West Bank. So our message, you know, we've gone through a whole series of messages from the humanitarian community in the last few weeks. It has boiled down to a single one today, and this is the day for it. Stop.
UN Humanitarian Chief Martin Griffiths, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much for asking me on the program.
And we were going to end our conversation there, but after I said goodbye, Chief Griffiths and I kept talking. He gave his permission for us to air the rest of our conversation. Okay, thank you very much. There's nothing good to be said here.
No, it's a really bad day. So I'm particularly thankful to you for allowing me on the program.
Can I just ask you what makes it a particularly bad day? Because I think as outsiders, we look on and it all seems bad. What makes today a particularly bad day?
I think what makes today a particularly bad day is that the humanitarian agencies have concluded, and you will hear it vociferously from UNRWA and others, that it's the situation in southern Gaza is now unequivocally the same kind of situation that the northern Gazans faced, and that the Blinken visit with its hoped-for diplomacy didn't produce results. So that now we know today that diplomacy hasn't worked, and we see the increase in the conflict itself in the south. That's what makes this, I think, a point of irreversible tragedy. We've all had hopes in these past days or weeks about let's have a pause or a ceasefire for a while, or let's, my 10-point plan, we could put up places of safety with UN flags and UNRWA institutions. We now see pretty clearly in southern Gaza, this is so last week, and this is not going to work. And the unanswered question is the one that you did ask, in fact, which is, where do they go? What happens next? And I don't have an answer to that, but it's the question which every family in northern Gaza is asking itself. Okay, if this is not safe, where do we go to find safety? And it's not going to be in Gaza. And where does that leave us?
Yet they're not being allowed out of Gaza either.
No, they're not. They're not. They're not. And I think that's going to be the next stage of horror. Because if they try to break out in great numbers, and they are great numbers still, as you know, in the south of Gaza, and if they try to break out into Egypt, for example, the Egyptians are very clear that they will not want to accept a major new caseload of Palestinians on some of the most sensitive areas of their country. And I dread to think the scenes that will follow from those two things clashing, people trying to escape and Egyptians exercising their rights of sovereignty. And I wouldn't even take sides on this until it happens. But I fear that this must be something which will take place if it goes on as it is today. This is bound to be one of the possible consequences, and it will be a dreadful one.
UN Humanitarian Chief Martin Griffiths.